is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet, sweet visions on each face. And I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly down, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for this land, lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Standing seems peaceful, you know, especially when I hear the bell and it's real quiet in here. I always think of those who have gone on before, our ancestors in the spirit, and what a privilege to at least try and follow in their footsteps by being faithful. So I thank you for coming. I sense the peace of God. Let's pass it with each other this morning as we greet each other. Yeah, okay. Joyce, concerns, announcements. I will apologize for the ashes last Wednesday, because I looked down before I applied any of the cross on people's foreheads or wrists, that they didn't. I thought they were maybe too dry and they wouldn't go on. And so I looked around, I said, what can I do? And somebody said, water. I said, well, I've got water. So I ran over there and got my glass, poured a little water, too much water. But I found out later, I should have remembered, water and oil don't mix. So I was trying to mix them up in here, but they just kept turning into, you know, dozens of little bitty balls. And they would fall on the, I hope, sorry, apologies to Dave. I looks pretty clean, so we might, yeah, I either got them all picked up or both. They got vacuumed up. But anyway, I'm sorry. I guess it was a case of, I thought, the president was going to have them up here and ready, and he thought I was going to have them ready, so sorry. Scotty, we'll know next time, huh? Anything else to say? I guess I should have. You know, I get this, and I should make the run this off too. Do you all get them in the mail, the bulletin? Yeah, and then I sometimes forget to do the backside, but there's a lot on the backside. But is there any additions or corrections to that? We want to remember those. Orvie, you know, in a nursing home, and Dennis and Olive and Vianne, she was all excited because Johnny Pineapple was coming. Her cousin and musician, entertainer, to Chaska, at the home in Chaska. She was in Waconia, but they had to do some more injections right through the bloodstream. And so, but she's getting better. She's very positive. So, am I forgetting anyone? Is there anyone else? Pardon me? Oh yeah, Jim, over in Plymouth. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, right. I saw Mavis on Monday, and I think she recognized me. But we had a nice talk about things that happened many years ago. But seemed in good spirits, and boy, that's a good place to be over there. In the Haven, I think they call it, in Norwood, Young America. Anyone? Anything? Any other announcements? Yeah.
Can I see, is that Bonner's service?
Yeah.
Can you go into Bonner's and then across the bridge into the church?
Whoa. Interesting. Huh?
Just follow the signs.
Yeah. Hmm. I told you the story of down in Arizona trying to follow the signs. Did I tell you that story? Well, make a long story short. We were shopping at Walmart down there. Well, you'll see that if you read the newsletter. But you can't always, I mean, I was looking for the wrong kind of sign. I wanted some sushi. And one of the clerks said, it's an 81. Okay, so I'm looking for 81, an 8 and a 1. Can't find it. 20 minutes. Glennis is patiently waiting. Come on. You know, one of these. She's already checked out. And so about that, I give up. And I'm walking to be with Glennis in Walmart, and we'll leave from there. And there it was. Not 81. There was an A here, and then a D there, and then a 1. Just like it should be said, right? AD1. Reminds me of the time the mayor of the town went to, was called on to throw out the first pitch. You know this story? At a Saints game. Thinking that, no, you don't get a baseball. You're going to throw out the first pitch. Because it's not play toe, it's play dough. Right? So you have... Did you throw a strike? I always forget, Bob. Did it fall apart? Oh, yeah. That's the kind of things you remember, isn't it? Wouldn't have been as memorable if it would have perfect strike into the mitt. Yeah. It's like our old friend who was the director of the athletic guy at the Chronicle, Lee Ostrom. People would say, so-and-so, you should do a story on him. He got a perfect game. And Lee would say, that's no story. If he got all strikes all the way until the very last box, the very last of the last frame, and only got 9 instead of 10, that would have been a story. Anyway, let's go on. Other joys or concerns?
If anybody wants to stay for prayer after service, I can be available downstairs.
Okay. Did you hear it, Ann? if anyone wants to be available for prayer. Thank you for doing that. Well, let's proceed then with our call to worship. People of God, where do we put our trust? Where do we find wholeness and meanings? We lift up our eyes to the hills. Our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. We are sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah. We trust in God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. We are followers of Jesus, who proclaimed God's realm. We are born of the Spirit, born from above. Our lives are a gift from God, who loves us. And by the grace of God, we are born anew each day. God loved the world in the gift of Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we receive eternal life. And we pray these words. Let the winds of the Spirit blow in our midst today, loving God. Let us hear the sound and feel the power. Open our hearts in new ways to the promise of your healing grace, so we may be a blessing to one another and your world. We need courage to face the challenges and struggles of life. We seek reassurance that you will be with us in our going out and our coming in. Strengthen our faith to withstand the trials and temptations that lead us away from a faithful journey with Christ. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to number 295. Tell me the story of Jesus. Everything's okay, as far as I know, with our organist, Diane. Oh, it's tournament time. Grandkids are playing. How many recognize this, have sung this before? Just curious. Couple hands here. I had to kind of learn it. The more I did it, the more familiar it seemed. Beautiful words. Tell me the story of Jesus, right in my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. He to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Now the first, essentially is the first verse again, the first two lines. They call it the refrain. Tell me the story of Jesus, right in my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. No, number two. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for the sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Refrain again. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Number three. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell me the story they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Say, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Sweetest that ever was heard. It's good to hear the story. It's good to sing the story, but we're reminded as we sing and as we think and as we read, as we hear the word, we got a ways to go. Maybe it's getting on the right track completely. Maybe it's making a little adjustment, promising to do this or that in reaction to what God has done for us. But especially on days of communion, it's important to confess our humanness, I guess, our sinful nature. So pray with me to say, oh God, we confess that we have been far more ready to say we believe than to trust you to lead us to new ventures of faithfulness. We are afraid of the evil that surrounds us. We fear rejection, failure, and ridicule. We admire Jesus, but it is difficult to follow in footsteps that lead to a cross. In the midst of life, as we know it here, how can we catch glimpse of eternity? Save us, we pray, from our timidity, and use our doubts as an entry to deeper faith. Amen. And know that as we pray and confess from our deepest part of our being, we can also know that our sins are forgiven. We are pardoned. Peg signed up to read. I noticed you typed this, Peg. Do you like Peg or Peggy better? She's just plain Peg. I'll try and remember that. You respond to either, yeah. How about Margaret?
No.
No.
That is not my given name. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thus ends our reading for today.
The gospel, the good news. One of the four readings that we struggle with, and struggle in the sense of, what does this mean? Well, I want to go through that a little bit with you. Just to back up, be reminded, maybe you noticed that Nicodemus came at night, so he wouldn't be seen by men, saying, Master, how can a man be born again? Nicodemus came at night. Why? A leader of the Pharisees, member of the Sanhedrin, definitely in the ruling class, and ruling in the sense that it was the Pharisees' responsibility to keep the law. Keep the law. Don't let it slip away. And he probably felt a personal responsibility, I'm kind of guessing on this, to check this Jesus out, whom they'd heard so much about. He was an amazing storyteller. He spoke with authority. He healed. He forgave sins. He did things that no teacher, no wandering rabbi did. Who is this? Now, he appears to flatter Jesus by saying, we're amazed at all these things you're doing, and no one can do this except be it of God. I say flattered. Maybe he was, it's hard to tell the tone that someone uses sometimes when they speak, whether it's Jesus or a Pharisee. And well, what's he doing? Is he trying to trick Jesus again, as so many did? If you know Nicodemus, it appears that, at least to me, that he had a conversion in the sense of going along with Jesus. It says in John, the 19th chapter, it appears, he is the next time that he appears, at least in the Gospel of John. And in the 38th verse, so I'm going to back up and read just a little bit more of this. John 19, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to back up to John 7, because John 19 is already the burial where Nicodemus helps Joseph of Arimathea to give the body of Jesus a proper burial. So Nicodemus kicks in big time for spices. And he probably wouldn't do that unless he was at least a friend. But let me read this from John 7. Come on. Well, there we go. John 7, verse 50 through 53. It's entitled, The Belief of Those, or The Unbelief of Those in Authority. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before, and who was one of them, asked, Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it? They replied, Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee. That's Nicodemus in the meeting with other Pharisees saying, let's hear this guy out. Let's hear what he has to say. Let's not turn him over to Pilate to be crucified until we at least, but this one, write him off because he's from Galilee. And they're probably giving Nicodemus a hard time. They know where he's from. They said, Are you from Galilee? Are you one of them? Well, he helps in the burial. And I like to think that it's a genuine conversion. Did you follow a little bit of the discussion that Jesus was having with Nicodemus? Jesus says, after Nicodemus makes his appearance in the third chapter, third verse, Don't you know, Nicodemus, that you must be born from above? Now, years ago, we'd always say born again. And that's true. But we're learning now that a better translation is born from above, a spiritual birth. But Jesus doesn't put Nicodemus down. He says, yes, it's true that you're born by water. We're all born by water. But then there's this spiritual rebirth. And by spirit, the Jew talked about the Spirit being like the wind, or even almost in the wind. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is ruach, which means wind, spirit. And in the New Testament, it's pneuma, which is like the wind even in our breath. God is with us that close. But still, Nicodemus doesn't quite seem to get it. He says, how does this happen? And then Jesus, I think in a loving way, says to Nicodemus, now you're a leader in the ruler, Pharisee, amongst people look up to you, and you don't know what this means, the Spirit, born of the Spirit? And I wouldn't go so far as to say Jesus maybe winks at him, but at least he does it, I think, in a loving way, yet trying to awaken Nicodemus. So he goes back to the history, to when Moses was in the wilderness with the people trying to get them through the desert. And they're hungry, they're tired, they're weak, they've had infections of some kind. And Moses receives word to put a pole there and wrap a serpent made of bronze around the pole. And as this is lifted up on that pole, and as the sick ones or the wounded ones would look upon the pole, they'd be healed. Jesus is saying, remember that? And so must the Son of Man, which really translated means the human one, the one who, of course, as we know, was not only human but divine. So must this human one be raised up on the cross for the greater healing of all humankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Many years ago, I wrote a song. It's just a little song. You have the words in your bulletin there. It's the words I just said. But I remember writing this. I didn't really write it. It came to me. And this verse takes me all the way back to when I was being in Sunday school in that little church in South Dakota. And they had a basement, you know, with the poles, and how it would be connected by a curtain, how you divided up your Sunday school rooms. Well, on this day, the curtains were all pulled up. And I remember going around the poles and saying this verse over and over again, for God so loved the world, and thinking, wow, this is important stuff. I'm always going to remember this. Goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Sing or hum with me if you want to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have an everlasting life. They will live forever. The life will go on forever. Forever and ever. Those who believe in him. Yes. You've seen those words before, maybe on the back of a license plate once I saw it. Sometimes it's posted by a doorway, or it's in a window, or a piece of paper somewhere. The word believe. Okay? What do you think of? Do you think of this scripture like this, maybe? Believe. Okay, but I go, in what? In Santa Claus, or the Easter Bunny, or for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows? Surely they must mean believe in Jesus. That's what I end up thinking, of course. I'm a believer. Have these jam sessions down in Arizona. Guys sit around and take their turn to come up and sing their song. And the guy that followed or preceded me, turns out he was a retired pastor. He did his thing. He sang a non-religious song. you weren't supposed to get too religious at these jams, you know, unless you went to the gospel jam. But I sang a song, and I think it was one where God will be with us, although it mentioned other words too. There was other words too, but he sensed something about that song. I can't quite remember what it was. But when I was done, he looked at me and said, "Are you a believer?" Of course, he didn't know me or anything, know I was a pastor or anything. I said, "Yeah, that's true. But then I must confess, I also song of, I'm a believer now." Is it Neil Diamond that says, "Then I saw her face and now I'm a believer"? No trace of doubt, I'm in love. And of course you could say that too about God. And because of Jesus, we can be in love with our Creator in the truest, deepest sense of believing. We talked about this in confirmation a little bit on Wednesday because it mentions belief in there. So I said to the two students that were there, what's another word that could be used to mean believer or believe? And they thought a little bit, and I don't know, John must have taught them this while I was gone. But they said, the T word, you know what it is? We've mentioned it a couple times already in our litany. T-R, trust, yes, trust. And sometimes I use the illustration of a chair. And so I got up from the chair and where we have confirmation. And I said, I believe in this chair. I trust this chair will hold me up and let me sit down, not break down. I don't know if he's trying to be funny or whatever, but one said, "You mean God is a chair?" No, this is an illustration of God, how God will give us rest, will hold us up, will allow us times to sit and wonder or ponder. Although in other parts of the world, they don't have chairs. I know in Vietnam, when I was there, they squatted down, did very well. Probably better to be in that position than to sit in so-called hardback chairs all day, or pews. But we not only sit down, but we have to rise up, get up, look up. And did you notice at the top of the bulletin, quotation from Psalm 121, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." Here I thought of that place where we'd go camping in the Black Hills at a church camp there, the United Church of Christ. They had a chapel, and at the chancel in the back, the whole wall was a window. And you'd sit there and you look out at that window up to the hill about a mile away. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. I was thinking about that and said, yeah, but from whence my help comes from? No. My help comes from the one who made the hills, which is what the psalmist says. And so too, we must rise up, look up, and know that our help comes from a high and a spiritual place to cause us to be born again, which I'm not one to judge who is, who isn't. I know I've had times when I really could say this was a born-again moment. And then there's other times when I say it happens all the time, happens every day, every hour, every minute. We're born from above, that spiritual sense of awareness, God's presence. Christina Rossetti wrote a little poem. It's called "Who Has Seen the Wind, the Breath?" Remember this, Jim? We talked about this once. Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you, But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the branches bow their heads, the wind is passing by. We can't see the wind, really. We can feel the presence. We can see it in others, maybe in ourselves. Sometimes. And sometimes we do doubt. I ran across this. I got this little book that has a lot of songs and choruses in, hymns. And every once in a while, there's a little devotional note that someone has written. Tells a nice little story. It's called Sin and Salvation. Starts off with Paul's letter to the Romans, 5th chapter, the 20th verse. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And then the writer says this: it may surprise you to learn that some of the writers of our hymns are, quote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Perhaps you have felt at times that your faith is not firm, that your doubts grow larger as you grow older, that the simple faith of childhood has not matured as you had hoped. Take courage. You are not alone. Robert Robinson, who wrote the lines quoted above from the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, he wrote that in 1758 when he was 23 years of age, shortly after he became a Christian, 1758. His, quote, wandering as a Christian led him from one church to another. He was a pastor of a Methodist church, Baptist church, and independent churches until, some would say, he got away from churches altogether. But someone remembered that in his later years, Robertson was riding in an English stagecoach when a fellow passenger, filled with the joy of Jesus, shared her testimony with him and then began singing the words of this beautiful hymn which Robert Robinson had written so many years before. At last, Robinson could stand it no longer. He implored her to stop, saying, I am the miserable wretch who wrote those words. And I would give anything if I could feel that way again. The words in closing are sure and true. You may feel at times, as the author did, that you have slipped and wandered away. Well, fear not. The shepherd is near. And he never loses his own, neither Robinson nor you. I end with this short little prayer. Always beside us, before us, behind us, you lead us on, Jesus. When we doubt the future or dread the past, when we wonder or wander, you are there. Take our hearts and hands in this expression of praise to you. Amen. Statement of faith is from our hymnals. The inside cover, on the left, the Apostles' Creed. Don't have that one, that hymnal. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Going to go to communion now, and let's sing together. Let us break bread together. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees, to my face, to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. You know, last night at Mass, the priest was talking about why we have different postures and do different things as we worship, from the genuflect to the kneeling, the sign of the cross. We do some of that here. But he pointed out that, you know, years ago, people would, to show humility, they prostrate themselves, laying flat on their stomachs as a sign of humility, as obedience to God. We don't do that here, and of course, I don't think they really do it in Catholic churches too much anymore, maybe at certain times. But in a sense, this is what communion is. We subject ourselves to this ordinance, this sacrament, remembering that Jesus, on the very night he was betrayed around that table, he took bread, broke it, said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you, that you might be healed. Take, eat, and remember me." When they had eaten, it was time to drink, and they passed the cup around, shared the common cup. Then we have the tray with grape juice and wine. But remember that shortly after that, took the cup, passed it around, said, "This is my body, this is my blood, and drink of this, and remember me." And so we give thanks to you, O God, for your body and your blood, your life that is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Help us to know that the Spirit is at work at all times, giving us life, truth, true joy, true justice, that all flesh may experience your presence as the wind is the Spirit from above. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Now you come and you eat. And the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Looks like we're all gonna get it once here. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Oops. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Excuse me. Body of Christ. The body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The body of Christ. 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 Go in peace and serve the Lord. You have a prayer of thanksgiving in your bulletin. Let's pray that together. To say, this bread has been broken, the cup has been poured, the meal has been shared. Gracious God, we give thanks for bread, for the journey, for your wisdom guiding us along the way. May there be friends to share the road as we dare to dream of creation renewed and hope in the promise of justice for all. Amen. Many who aren't here today, for one reason or the other, not only people here, but people everywhere that don't feel they have a God to worship, who cares about them, And with all the violence, arguing, it looks dismal at times, but may we know that your love is always here, a shepherd to lead us and guide us. So we thank you and remember you by saying the words to that wonderful prayer that you taught the disciples to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing the doxology, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, as we bring our offerings to the altar. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above you, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray together to say, thank you, God, for glimpses of eternity in the daily experiences of life. We are grateful for encounters that lift us the horizons of vision. We rejoice in the teaching and care you have provided to us. Bless now the gifts we return to you for the programs and outreach of the church. We want to share our faith with the world. We pray for trustful relationships among all your children. We rejoice together in the saving ministry of Jesus that inspires us to give our best. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Last hymn is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. We'll sing all the stanzas. Pick up the tempo just a little. All five stanzas. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, the word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise, and when we first be gone. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh, I almost said that. I said Diane.